This morning, not long kirtan, moderate kirtan, in New Rotterdam. It's up on the podcast if you care to listen to it. Also, I read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, as usually do, from Madhya Lila, chapter 1. And I'm just going to read and speak a little on some aspects of those shloka. This was the verse today, text 83. Bhagavatira shloka gudharta visharta karina rupa goshani shloka kaida loka bhujhaina. In one verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. This was the verse. There's no purport. And the verse that's being referred to here, Rupa Goswami's verse, is as follows. Yate lila rasa parimalodghari vanya parita dhyanyakshamni vilasati vrite madhuri madhuribi tatrasmabhi chatulapavashpi bhava Mugdhantarabhi sambhitastvam kalayavadano lashivenurviharam. The gopis continued, Dear Krishna, the fragrance of the mellows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forests of the glorious land of Vrindavan, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dancing on your lips and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable ecstatic emotions. And this is a verse that's to be found also in the Lalita Madhava. The verse that was referred to, that this verse of Rupa Goswami explains the verse of Bhagavatira Shloka Srimad Bhagavatam, is the very famous verse Hushchate Nalinanaba Padara Vindam, which translated is, the gopis spoke thus, Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. That's the 49th verse of the 82nd chapter. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami continues, In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath. He saw that the Lord was with his sister Subhadra and was not holding a flute in his hand. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful. His body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always increasing. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. The last 12 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were passed in this transcendental craziness. Thus, he executed his last pastimes in three ways. One interesting point here is this idea of transcendental craziness. Unmat. Mat means craziness. Unmat means very crazy. Of course, being crazy is really a relative phrase. Who's really crazy? People in an insane asylum, at least residents of an insane asylum, may think that their doctors are crazy and vice versa. On the other hand, Krishna says, Yanisha Sarabhutanam, that devotees think that all people are crazy. And simultaneously, people think that devotees are crazy. So this concept of craziness is a relative thing. And here we're talking about something that's transcendental craziness. Why is it crazy? Well, here one of the symptoms is being described, talking inconsistently. When we see that what someone says doesn't really make any sense to us, then we say, oh, that person's crazy. And when is it that things don't make sense, or when is it that people talk incoherently like that? When their emotions, their thoughts are so intense, so effusive, just really exploding, that number one, they can't keep track of what they're thinking, therefore they can't voice or speak all the things. And number two is that even when they do, they can't find the right words in order to explain what they're feeling or thinking. And so the speech then becomes, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't work in terms of the regular mass of people in the outside world, what we call sane communication, then breaks down. And we see that this may take place when people have very extreme experiences, emotional outbursts, when they're very angry. People get very angry and they just like fall over themselves verbally. They can't necessarily verbalize everything that they're saying. Or when people are really greatly troubled, then they're trying to say something, and I'm sure you all have the experience, you said, well, I just can't really put it into words, or I didn't really say what I wanted to say or what I'm feeling. And when you try to do it, then it comes out all garbled. And an even more extreme situation is when ultimately things really just sort of break down. In other words, one's experience is so intense, it causes so much pain or it causes so much joy, that the mind is unable to tolerate that intensity, and then people, we use the word that they go mad, they become schizophrenic, they have a mental breakdown, their nerves, in other words physically, they also can't work off the intense strain of that experience, and they have a nervous breakdown. So these are certain conditions of madness that people experience. And a similar thing takes place in very, very intense ecstasy, when the ecstasy of separation, when even the ecstasy of union, when certain ecstatic symptoms become very, very intense, neither the faculty of speech nor the thinking, more the mind, its thinking ability can actually keep pace or handle the intensity of that spiritual experience. And therefore, one may speak incoherently. One may be completely garbled in terms of one's speech. Ultimately, one may not even be able to speak and go through different types of convulsions, shivering, fainting, numbness, these type of things which materialistic people don't relate to at all and may think that this person is really just gone completely around the bend. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited these different types of symptoms. Here the particular one is the symptom of separation from Krishna, when Srimati Radharani was observed by Uddhava, in her great separation from Krishna, the pain of separation became so much that Radharani exhibited this unmat, or this transcendental madness. And then she started speaking to a bee. Well, as soon as you're speaking to a bee, that means that there's something wrong. But not only she was speaking to a bee, but the things that she said to the bee exhibited 10 different types of crazy speech, which by normal behavior, even the normal behavior of a transcendentalist, a devotee, can only be called madness. And yes, devotees also have a normal and abnormal behavior, although they're both completely spiritual or transcendental. But normal behavior of a devotee is when he's able to communicate and exchange with both the outside world and other Vaishnavas. Abnormal behavior is when ecstasy becomes so intense that behavior, bodily movements, speech, facial expression go beyond the norm. They don't make sense in terms of regular methods of interaction and communication. And therefore, unless someone is very transcendentally exalted or advanced, people can't make sense of them. So we see, for instance, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would exhibit great, wonderful transcendental symptoms when he was in kirtan. But more or less in the public, Srila Prabhupada pointed out, he would not speak and he would try to restrain himself as much as possible. Only in the association of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really let himself go to all of these extreme symptoms of spiritual ecstasy, which very often reflected this type of madness. And why? Because only these two people, not only were they able to understand Vaishnavriya Kriya Mudra, the ecstatic symptoms of a Vaishnava, but they also knew how to relate to them, and they also knew how to steer them and guide them. So they would ultimately be able to guide Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a state of transcendental sanity, where he could then be able to relate to the regular necessities of life, such as eating and then going to sleep and taking rest. So it's in relationship to this type of behavior that Srila Prabhupada would often quote that verse, that one should not try to understand the activities of a transcendentalist with one's materially molded mind or one's worldly experience. A very telling example of this is, for instance, how many scholars who study Gaudiya Vaishnavism and know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic condition. They say that he was most likely an epileptic. In other words, the epileptic seizures where one convulses, shakes, rolls on the ground, his tongue rolls out, his eyes go back in his head. These are symptoms of a material disease, a material condition that they can relate to. As far as ecstatic symptoms, which may have identical symptoms as epilepsy, they can't connect to, because neither can they really discern those symptoms of ecstasy, neither do they have the faith, even if they could, to believe that that's actually what's going on. So they say Lord Chaitanya was an epileptic. Vaishnavas say that he was feeling great ecstasy, and that behavior is the symptoms of ecstasy. And when that ecstasy becomes very, very extreme, then there's udmata, there's madness. So that same type of madness, for instance, when even Srimati Radharani would exhibit it in her own home, she would start to cry and start to speak incoherently, then her own relatives would start to think, oh, maybe she's possessed by a ghost, and they would call Brahmins to chant mantras to be freed of ghosts. Even Mother Sachi, under the influence of Yoga Maya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at home began to first exhibit these types of extraordinary characteristics, then she thought that maybe he had a sunstroke, maybe he's become a little crazy, deranged, and so she would put Vishnu oil on his head, cooling oil that would cool his head down. Therefore, if devotees are so fortunate that they've come to the stage of being absorbed to such an extent in Krishna consciousness that these symptoms become manifest, they keep themselves distant from materialistic people and keep themselves only in the association of very exalted Vaishnavas who can assist them. To display such symptoms in materialistic people will make them become critical and commit Vaishnava aparad, and that in turn means that the devotee himself, who is exhibiting those ecstatic symptoms, they'll be responsible for challenging the faith of neophytes or non-devotees, and that in itself becomes an offense. So we see, just from the example I gave the other day of Rupa Goswami laughing in his ecstasy at a guest, how the exhibition of transcendental symptoms may result in an offense under certain circumstances. And we should therefore be careful. Of course, devotees may think, well, that's the least of my problems, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. But still, we should be aware of these things, because in due course of time, you will be exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. And all those things also have a time and a place. And that's one of the things that we learn from our readings here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, I'm going to go into puja. Hare Krishna. All the best to everyone.